It's how we understand how God works in the world. Right? That's my understanding of science. Coming from a science background as a chemist, that's really supported in everything I ever studied. Science is what we understand the ways that God works in the world. All right? So, this is why the atheist philosopher Anthony Flew suggests that the entire idea of after death is meaningless, since he assumes that life is biological, which ceases the moment of death. Atheist Keith Augustine admits, "When confronted by the death of someone close to me, or contemplating my own inevitable death, I am not comforted by such words of wisdom. Nevertheless, we cannot base our beliefs on what we want to be true." There's about 13% of Americans who hold this view currently, and it's the dominant view of the major cultural power structures in our world today. Now, these three views, disembodiment, reincarnation, and extinction, are the major explanations that we find in our culture today as we seek to probe the mysteries of death. So, what should we believe as Christians? Where do we turn in our search for answers? And in my opinion, and I hope yours, the Bible is our primary source for answers. So let's take a look at its pages. Those who have attended newcomers class have heard this, but a question that I like to ask when thinking about the disciples of Jesus is this. Now, those who attended newcomers class, you know, don't give this away too quickly. Out of the 12 disciples that Jesus picked to follow him during his earthly ministry, one committed suicide, that was Judas. One died of natural causes, that is old age, John, the writer of the book of Revelation. And 10 died violent deaths from the persecution of others. Guess how many of these renounced the faith when the going got tough and their lives were on the line? None, that's right. Not one. Not one of them renounced the faith. So, here's the question. Don't you think if Jesus' life, death, and especially his resurrection were not true, at least one of these would have spilled the beans? That's Eric there. After all, what did they have to gain? Why die for a lie? Think about that. Why die for a lie? Think about the suffering that these, let alone all the other martyrs that came after them, suffered. It would have been much easier for them to say, you know what, this really didn't happen. I'm going to renounce my faith in Jesus Christ. Right? Well, none of the writers of the New Testament doubt the resurrection of Jesus for a moment, at least what we can see in Scripture. None of them failed to grasp its towering significance in the Christian way of life. The gospel writers all tell the story of the empty tomb. All of them speak of the risen Lord. Three of the gospels, Matthew, Luke, and John, present detailed accounts of the appearances of the risen Lord. It is beyond all question that without this absolute affirmation of the resurrection, the Christian movement would have been reduced to a band of trembling moralists whose enthusiasm would have run out before their death. The disciples, folks, were crushed by crucifixion. They were crushed by the crucifixion. With what interest and excitement and doubts they listened to the first reports of the empty tomb. With what eagerness two of them ran to the tomb to see for themselves. With what overpowering joy they held their risen Lord. He was one of those, the resurrection was one of those turning points in history. Everything was changed. The past was gone. The cross was a triumph. The grave was defeated. The way was now open for the Holy Spirit to do its wonder work on Pentecost. Jesus, according to the Gospel of John, made it very clear that there are not numerous ways to get to heaven, but only one way. Jesus is the way. Jesus says in John 11, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You see, Jesus speaks of life after death often in Matthew 22:30. For instance, Jesus is asked if people will be married in heaven, and Jesus responds, "For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven." Revelation, if you want to write this down, Revelation 7:9 through 17 gives another view of what life after death in heaven will be like. So, what is eternal life? What is eternal life?